I want us to look together this evening at this verse in Psalm 94 and verse 12. If you have a church Bible, a New King James Bible, this is what you will read. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. If you've got an authorized version, this is what you will read. Blessed is the man whom thou chastisest, O Lord, and teachest out of thy law. And if you have an NIV, blessed is the man who you discipline, O Lord, and teach from your law. And if you've got any other version, I'm sorry, I can't help you. It's difficult, isn't it? You give out a text, and some people see you at the end of the service and say, it doesn't say that in my Bible. Well, all these words are helpful to us, and we shall see them in a moment. It's interesting as to why the translators have used these words. Blessed is the man who you instruct, who you chastise, who you discipline. And they all agree with the second part of the text, who you teach from your law. Now, it begins like this. It begins with the word blessed. Blessed. That's a Bible word, isn't it? It's an Old Testament word, and it's a New Testament word. And every Christian longs to be blessed, to be blessed. We use that word so easily, don't we? May the Lord bless you. We pray, Lord, bless this person. We long to be blessed ourselves. What's that mean? Well, it means happy, but it's not a sort of frothy, light and passing thing. The blessedness of the Old Testament expression and the New Testament expression is a deep thing. It's an inner joy. It's a contentment. It's a spiritual position. Blessed. A spiritual condition. It's the condition that the Christian should know, longs for, is pointed towards, and we pray for. So it's a very important word, isn't it? The word blessed. And right at the beginning of our Christian experience, it tells us what happens to us. Psalm 32 and verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. There it is. When we come to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come as a sinner to Jesus, when we come for forgiveness, when we're saved, when we're born again, when our sin is covered, when we realize the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, then the psalmist says, blessed. You're a Christian this evening. Then that's your position from the very beginning. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And we can think of the expression, can't we, that goes on, that takes us into the Christian life. The word blessed, it goes into the Christian life. We can think of it in the Old Testament, can't we? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so on. Blessed man. It's a Christian. Moving. Glowing. Developing, going on, signpost, says blessed, that's the blessed way. Then think of the New Testament, can't we? The Lord Jesus speaking to the disciples on the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And all those Beatitudes that point the way. The blessedness. That's the Christian life. Well, there's much we could say. It would be a good study, wouldn't it? What a study it would be to go through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, and look for the blessings. See where they point. Well, we've just got one signpost here tonight, and it's in verse 12 of Psalm 94. This was going to be my New Year text until it was really impressed upon me, that verse in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. So here's the alternative. If this was a record, it'd be on the B side. Some people can remember records. It tells us three things here, three things in this text that make a Christian man or woman blessed. Three things. One, separation. You instruct. Two, instruction. Or if you've got an AV, discipline. Or if you've got, an AV, chastisement. Or if you've got an NIV, discipline. We'll look at them in a moment. So separation firstly, instruction secondly, and then thirdly, they all agree, teaching. So they're the three things. They're the three things. They're the signpost to blessedness in this verse. Now, it's not everything. There's much, much we can see in other parts of the scripture. But here are these three in this verse. So firstly, let's deal with this matter of separation. This verse tells us, blessed is the man who you instruct, O Lord. Now, immediately, it brings us to this thought, doesn't it? That there's a man here who's being instructed, a woman who's being instructed by God. Separately, differently. I came out of the hall, I take an assembly on Thursday, I came out of the hall and there's a little boy with an individual teacher. I think he'd been separated for not good reasons. Separated. She's instructing him. All the other children are in class. Now there's a separation here, isn't there? Blessed, it says, is the man, the woman, who you instruct. Here's God dealing with the Christian in a separate and different way to those around. Can we expand that? Well, the context shows us very clearly that there are those in the world who the psalmist calls, inspired by God, verse 2, the proud. The proud. He's praying that God renders punishment to the proud. There are those, the proud. There are those in verse 3. He's praying about the wicked. He's praying in verse 4 and speaking about the workers of iniquity. And in verse 8, he speaks there about the senseless, or the AV says the brutish, the senseless among the people. Fools, he says. There's a whole crowd of people. And as we read this psalm, we see there's a blessedness that all these people, in all these descriptions, are over here. But God, the Lord, is dealing with this man over here. Differently. Separately. With these people, there comes a great deal of opinion and selfishness and atheistic thinking. Look at verse 4. They utter speech and insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. Verse 7. They say, the Lord does not see. They're atheists, you see. There's no God. God doesn't see. Your God doesn't see me. Nor does the God of Jacob understand. Don't tell me there's a God. But over here, there's this man, this woman, who's being instructed and dealt with differently, separately. They appear set against God and his people. Verse 5, they break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. There's something awful about these folk. There's something that is evil and wicked about them. And God deals with these people in a very different way. He deals with them today as he dealt with them then in the days of the psalmist. Prayers are made, aren't they? Today, by the Lord's people, O Lord, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth, rise up, Lord. Will you not deal with this situation? Well, here is God, and he's dealing with the world, the ungodly, the wicked, the atheist, proud, in one way, and he's dealing with his people in an entirely different way. He's made a separation, he's made a division, and he has made a difference. Blessed is the man. Now we need to understand that God is dealing with the world in a very different way to the way that he's dealing with you and me. If you're a Christian this evening, we need to understand that you and I are being dealt with separately, differently. Not like that little laddie who had obviously been a bad lad and taken out of assembly and out of class. But we're being dealt with separately and differently by a God who loves his people in a very special way. We're told in verse 5, we are the heritage, the people of God. You see, there are those trying to break into pieces the people of God, your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. But we are the people of God and his heritage, and he's going to make us blessed, and he's going to deal with us in a different way. The clues are in the psalm. He's going to keep and help and protect and uphold and comfort and defend. Look at verse 14. We're just seeing something of the context of our verse. Verse 14. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Verse 18. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. It's going to protect and keep. Verse 19. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Verse 22. But the Lord has been my defence and my rock, and my God, the rock of my refuge. So as the psalmist writes this psalm, inspired by God, praying that the situation in which he is in, where he sees the workers of iniquity, the proud, the atheistic, the worldly, on one hand, he realizes he is being dealt with differently and separately. He realizes there's a blessedness in this, and that this God who is dealing with him and keeping him and protecting him and comforting him is dealing with him in an entirely different way. And we have a clue to that and why it is. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, who were once not a people, but you are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And the truly blessed pathway is to understand and appreciate this, that you and I as Christians are being dealt with differently, separately, individually, because we have been separated by God to be dealt with in such a way. So the first thing is separation. We need to understand that. Part of blessedness is to understand the separation that God makes between his dealings with all of the rest of the world, with every man and woman in the world who is not his, and his special, holy, particular, chosen people. Now that's not to make us proud. That's to humble us. But to realise the truth of it, Because we've got to understand that first, or else we will not understand the next point. And the next point is this, that the blessed pathway to be blessed requires instruction. Instruction. That's what it says, isn't it? Go back to our psalm. In Psalm 94 and verse 12, blessed is the man who you instruct, O Lord. So you're doing it. It's different. It's separate to the way in which you're dealing with all other people. And what you are doing is you're instructing him. Instructing her. Now this is us. This is our situation. If you're a Christian this evening, the Lord is instructing us. But didn't we say there are different words that the different translators have taken from the original? So the original, I mean, we trust these men, don't we? These translators. Why is it that the good men have lifted up a word and said, this is the word to use. Instruction. New King James. But our forefathers in the Authorized Version have used the words chastisement or chastisement. And the NIV translators have used the word disciplined. Well, we need to put those together. And we need to think, now, what is this? What is this a picture of? What is it a picture of? Is it not a picture of a father dealing with his child, dealing with his son? This is the type of instruction that is not just mental learning. This is not book learning or academic teaching. What the Word of God is saying to us here is that God deals with us through separation, but through instruction, which is the instruction of a father dealing with a son. It's a special relationship. Oh, holy priesthood. A chosen generation. A special people. They're wonderful things, aren't they? But is there anything more wonderful than this? That he takes you aside, and he takes me aside, out of all the people in the world. And he deals with us as a son, as an individual son, loved, kept, protected, all through our lives. Such a different way. Instruction. It's the outworking of adoption. It's the outworking of the doctrine of adoption. Doctrine of adoption can just be a doctrine we have on our list and we tick it off. And we say, where does it come? In the order of things. Redemption and justification, sanctification and so on. Well, here's the outworking of it. Here's the reality of it that we are dealt with. And it's a blessed thing for us to understand that he does as a son. As a son. So that we can look back and we can say that we are glad that we were taught in this way, as a father teaches his children. Well, that's why we read together that passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Perhaps you'll just turn back there in Hebrews chapter 12. And we read, didn't we, about the way in which God deals with us. My son, verse 5, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Here's not just a teacher teaching from a book and saying, learn this by rote, and tomorrow we'll do a test, and here's the test tomorrow, and it's numbers 1 to 10, and if you don't get at least 9 out of 10, you've not passed the test, so we'll have another test tomorrow. It's not that type of teaching, is it? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. The instruction of a father. The care that comes with it. The discipline of it. That the father knows the right way. He knows the best things. It's not simply to put knowledge in us. It's to take us down the right path. Blessed is the man who you instruct, you discipline, you chastise, O Lord. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Our separation is because we're made sons. And our instruction is because we are sons. And we're separate from all the world. So, I picked this book again off my books shelf today. Why does being a Christian have to be so hard? Because it's not simply a question of learning facts, not a question of doing exams. It's a question of our hearts working and striving very often against a heavenly Father who says, blessed, this is the blessed way, this way. And he instructs and chastens and disciplines. And we have to learn this, therefore, that the Christian has special troubles. The Christian has sanctified trials. The Christian has loving testings. And the Christian has beneficial afflictions, because the Lord deals with us in a very different way. Our Heavenly Father instructs us in his way, in the blessed way. I want us just to turn to Psalm 119. Please turn to Psalm 119. And find in that psalm there, one of those sections, sections which go through the Hebrew alphabet. And it's the section from verse 65. Psalm 119, verse 65. And we read in this section some verses which are very helpful to this whole subject, but two verses in particular which can stop us in our tracks, but remind us of what we're thinking about here. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. Here is that fatherly instruction, chastisement, that which we've been thinking about, afflicting us. Because we would go astray. But now I've learned. I'm learning to keep your word. Verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. And then here's this other remarkable verse. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why is that? That I may learn. That I may learn your statutes. And we're going to come to learning in a minute. But what we're talking about here is the blessed path, the blessed way, which is a way of separation, and it's a way of instruction. In the Treasury of David, Spurgeon quotes upon Psalm 94, where we're looking, and he quotes a number of different writers. A man I've never heard of, Christopher Fowler, this is what he says. Sanctified troubles are tokens of special love. See, this is what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 94. He's saying that God is dealing with us as a father with his children, but in a very different way to the world, to the unbeliever. He's dealing with the Christian, and he's bringing upon them sanctified troubles. And they're tokens of special love. And then Thomas Brooks, more well-known Puritan writer, he says this: outward afflictions bring inward teaching, and all in love. And then he gives 15 reasons. Are you ready for them? 15 reasons. That love designs to make us to loathe sin more, to trample the world more, to walk with God more, to die to sin more, to die to self-interest more, to live to Jesus Christ more, to lift him up more, to long for him more, to get assurance more, to be ready for death more, to think of heaven more, to be fit for heaven more, to lie low my proud heart more, to grow more humble, charitable, to enjoy the presence of God more. There's 15 things. This is how he's instructing you, how he's instructing me. He is dealing with us separately. He is dealing with us through his instruction, through his ways, through his providences, which sometimes will bring upon the Christian special troubles, sanctified triumphs, loving testings, beneficial afflictions, and it won't be very easy. And that's why Peter Golding wrote that book. Why is the Christian life sometimes so hard? Because we'll be like Asaph in Psalm 73, and we'll look at the world. Remember, God's dealing with them in a different way. And we'll look at the world and we'll say, well, they don't have troubles like me. They don't have difficulties like me. Look, they don't seem to have the anxieties that I have and the concerns that I have. They don't seem to even be worried about dying. They don't seem to have the wrestlings that I have. They don't seem to have those inner struggles with sin. They couldn't care less about sin. We can be like Asaph, and we can find ourselves slipping and sliding. We can say, we've almost gone, we've almost lost this view of the blessed way. And then this text comes back to us. Blessed is the man. I'm dealing with you in a very different way. I'm instructing you in the blessed way, the best way, that there may be those more than things, to know more of those things that I have purposed for you, to make you more like Christ, to sanctify you, to bring you to glory. Now there's a third thing, and we mustn't forget this third thing, because this text fits together, and we can't take one part without the other. If we do not realise that we're being dealt with differently, we will not understand we're being instructed differently. And yet, the second part, our instruction, we will not understand unless we understand the third part. And the third part is through teaching. The blessed way, this blessedness comes through separation, through instruction, and then through teaching. Through teaching. Now, it's quite clearly different to instruction. This instruction we've seen is the instruction of a father to his children. It includes a measure of chastisement, it includes a measure of instruction, it includes a measure of disciplining and making sure that we're going the right way. But now here's something different. It's teaching. And you teach me, he says, out of your law. Out of your law. Well, by that, of course, in the Old Testament, we see that he means that Old Testament law and way. But we look at it in a wider sense, don't we? And apply it. Take Psalm 119, where the word of God is applied as statutes, laws, ways, and so on. And we take the whole of the word of God, and rightly so. Here's that third element then, that we have to be taught from the word of God, from your law. How would we know about these things if we did not have the word of God? We wouldn't understand, would we? We wouldn't comprehend. As Christians, without the Bible open, we would run away. We would shy away. Our fallen nature, you see, it says live for self. Live for things. Live for pleasure. Live like the world. Because they don't seem to have all those troubles. Human philosophy and reason tells us that we don't want afflictions and trials. That's the last thing that we want. We want a pleasant and easy life. We don't want those wrestlings of heart. We don't want that interceding prayer. We don't want that consciousness of sin. We don't naturally want to be sanctified. But the word of God teaches us, doesn't it? It teaches us these things. Where are we getting these things from? How are we gaining understanding of them? How are we this evening understanding this text? We're doing it through looking into the Word of God. How do we know about our salvation? How do we know that the Lord deals with us in a separate way? Because the Word of God tells us. How do we know that He is our Heavenly Father and that we are His sons and that He deals with us in this fatherly, loving, caring discipline? Because the Word of God tells us all about it. And you see how important the Word of God is. Well, we thought about Asaph. He's only a few psalms before, isn't he? Just flick over to Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, of course, we have this man who looked at the world and he had almost stumbled. He was looking and forgetting the things that we're looking at in this psalm. And in Psalm 73, he says this. Verse 21, my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. See, that's how he got. And we can forget so easily. Nevertheless, he says, I am continually with you. You hold me by your right hand. And then he says this in verse 24, look. You will guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, receive me to glory. And here in front of us this evening is the counsel of God. What did Paul say, didn't he? He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. The word of God. And here's that third element. It's the teaching of the word of God. Thomas Brooks says, all the chastening in the world without divine teaching will never make a man blessed. If we do not understand from the Word of God, if the Holy Spirit does not take the Word of God, because we never have it open and we do not read it, study it and meditate upon it, Brooks says, all the chastening in the world, all the fatherly instruction in the world, all the discipline in the world, it won't make us blessed because we won't understand it. And I looked up Matthew Henry this afternoon and he says it's not the chastening alone, but the teaching that goes alongside it and expounds it. See, this is how important it is for the Christian to understand that God in my life and in your life, He's dealing with me separately. He's dealing with me differently to all the people around me. People in the office, the people in the road, my friends. They are looking at life in a very different way. God is dealing with them in a very different way. He is dealing with me individually. He is dealing with me personally. He's dealing with me as a son, as a daughter, adopted into His family. He is dealing with me to instruct me and counsel me and chastise me and discipline me in the right way, the blessed way, His way. But if I don't see it in His word, I will not understand it. Thomas Carroll says this, if we have nothing but the rod, we profit not by the rod. If we have nothing but the word, we shall never profit by the word. You see, if God just gave us His word and not His sanctified discipline, that wouldn't be right or complete. Chastisement and teaching must go together, else there will be no profit. And this is the way, isn't it? This is the way of this verse in this psalm. Blessed is the man who you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. So think about that verse in Psalm 119 again. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The two things are put side by side. So do you want to be a blessed Christian? Do you want to be a blessed Christian? Do you want that deep and contented happiness in the Christian life? Well, go and study the blessings in the Word of God. But see here this one, on which many surely rest, that God deals with you and I separately. He instructs us and he teaches us, and we need to keep those things in balance, or else we will lose the understanding of the way that God is dealing with me. Now, at the beginning of a new year, this was going to be a new year text, and my wonderings really were, perhaps we were struggling, perhaps individually we were struggling. Why is it like this? Oh God, why is it like this? Why are you doing these things in my life? Why can't I just do this? Go there? Why can't I get this sorted out? He's taking us away, you see, from thinking like the world and instructing us like a son. We've got to go to his word and be reassured that he is dealing with us in the way that he said. And that is the blessed way. Well, I hope it's been helpful. Certainly was helpful to me when I looked at this text. It hit me. It just struck me. These things.